Thank you very much, Peter Neumann. I would like to put a few questions to you. You're in between, I mean, I would say between Great Britain and Germany, and of course other European countries, but more specifically, you wrote a book which became somehow a bestseller in German on jihadism. And you're at the one of the most important parts of the, I mean, King's College on radicalization and jihadism. I would like to ask you a question which is tricky, because in France I think nobody would be able to answer that. I mean, what are the specific features of the British and German jihadists compared to each other?
I think if you're speaking about demography, if you're speaking about the type of people, there are some differences. So for example, we see a much higher percentage of converts in Germany. The percentage of converts amongst the people who have gone to Syria to fight is 20 to 25% in Germany, very, very high. In Britain, it is maybe 10%. I'm not sure I have an explanation for that, but it seems to be the case that in Germany a lot more converts are being attracted to this. I think it's also true that the jihadist scene in Germany, maybe more like Belgium, attracts really the failed people in society. It attracts a very high percentage, up to 80% of people who have previous criminal convictions, 25% unemployed, a lot of people with failed educational careers, whereas in Britain that is not necessarily the case. If you look at the economic and educational profile of British people who went to Syria, they're very similar to the Muslim population in general in Britain. And in fact, you, if anything, have a higher representation of people who have gone to university. So if anything, they are above average educated compared to British Muslims in general. So there are some differences. I think it's maybe a mistake to overinterpret that. I think in Britain, for example, one of my hypotheses is that in Britain you have a long history of jihadist recruitment at universities, and that may explain some of the overrepresentation of university students, whereas in Germany, the Salafist and jihadist scene is really active in very deprived areas, and it picks up those people. So it may actually be simply a function of different recruitment methods, and there may not be a bigger story about it, but I'm not sure, but there are differences.
I mean, compared to France, in Germany, we haven't got, up to now, any major terrorist action in the name of jihad. I mean, in France, we have had November 13, Charlie Hebdo, and of course, Mohamed Merah, Mehdi Nemouche. I mean, Mehdi Nemouche in Belgium, in a museum in Belgium, but he was he's a French guy,
yeah.
And so on. In Germany, it has been rather not peaceful, but at least not as violent as in France. How could you explain that?
I think there are different explanations. One is that it is true that Germany has not been in the forefront as much as France in relation to foreign policy, in relation also to domestic policy, enforcing laïcité. In Germany, that's a much more muddled process, and it isn't so easy to blame the German state on enforcing a doctrine with the same force that the French, or with the same conviction that the French state does. So France has given jihadists a lot more excuses to be angry at them. Secondly, we do have, especially over the past 4 or 5 years, we have had a more significant recruitment in terms of numbers amongst the French jihadis. We know that the numbers differ, but at least 1,200 people have tried to go to Syria and to Iraq. Germany, you have the figures, I think 700. And so I think there are fewer people who are interested in that. I think there are fewer entrenched areas of social and economic deprivation. So what you have in the suburbs of Paris, for example, you have that in a very limited way in parts of Berlin, parts of Frankfurt. But I think having been to the suburbs of Paris, having been to Molenbeek in Brussels, I still think the situation is somewhat better in even the most deprived parts of Germany, where you can still see that these areas are not completely abandoned by the state. There are normal, non-Muslim, non-deprived people living in those areas. There is a connection back to civil society, and people haven't completely given up on being part of the country. And so I do think maybe there's also a difference. It would be interesting to see an empirical study and to make it, to do a survey of people. That's just my anecdotal experience of that. So these are all possible explanations for that. Mm.
But in France, you have the problem of banlieue.
Yeah.
In Great Britain, sometimes you have a problem of the poor inner cities. In Germany, is there any equivalent to that? I mean, in terms of urbanistic?
There is a famous area in Berlin called Neukölln, which is, in most schools you have 80% of the students have a migration background, the vast majority of them Muslim. You have a very high degree of social and economic deprivation. And so it has the potential to become something like les banlieues. But there are very, very considerable efforts going on to stop this. And civil society is very engaged because it sees the example of France and the example of some places in Belgium, and they see what can happen. And I think they are determined to prevent that. But definitely there are some areas that definitely have the potential to go that way.
And in poor inner cities in Great Britain, do they have the same types of characteristics? I mean, my guess is that it's not as strong as the French banlieue.
I think it's, again, it would be interesting to really compare the statistics, because if you look at the socioeconomic position of British Muslims, it is very bad. Muslims are the most deprived minority. They are worse off even than black Africans. You have, whatever indicator you look at, whether you look at housing, unemployment, schooling, jobs, every indicator, Muslims are the worst off. And so I would imagine that the statistics are very comparable to France. However, there's a difference here, and as a sociologist, you will appreciate that. It's not only about economic statistics, it's about how people feel. How do they perceive the situation? And I can say that probably in France, you might, if you did a survey, find more open hostility towards the French state than in Britain towards the British state. I think a lot of British Muslims, even though they are poor, are quite indifferent about Britain as a country, whereas a lot of young French people are actually hostile to the country. So they may be, in terms of economics, they may be on a similar scale, but in terms of perceptions and hostility, there may be a difference. Again, something that would be interesting to find out.
And then my last question, in terms of ethnicity. Mm-hmm. I mean, Germany's Muslims are in the majority from Turkey. And they do not have the post-colonial background. Mm,
exactly. I think that's an important factor that I forgot to mention. I think that is a factor that both France and Britain do have a stake and a history in the places that we're talking about now. Germany less so. Even though I should remind you, after the attacks on the Stade de France, in the proclamation of ISIS that came afterwards, they said they were not only talking about France, they said we were attacking the Crusader nations, France and Germany. So clearly they do count Germany as a country, even though, yes, it does not have the same historical baggage. And on top of that, I think if you look at opinion polls on things like Sharia law, for example, you will see very high degrees of support for that in Britain amongst British Muslims, because they come from Pakistan. They come from a country that is essentially the equivalent of Israel for Jews, for Muslims. It has an Islamic constitution. Whereas in Germany, where most people are from Turkey, you have very low levels of support for Sharia law. Even if they are upset with Germany, even if they don't feel that their rights are fully recognized, they are not necessarily calling for the introduction of Sharia law. And so ethnicity and where people come from may actually play a role. And for a long time, just one last point, for a long time, this is no longer true, but for a long time in Germany, there was a debate among scholars about the fact that very few people of Turkish descent became jihadists. Mm-hmm. And that is
That's actually changing.
There are a lot, I don't know the exact statistics, but this may actually also be an explanation for why you see so many converts. So there's a different ethnic makeup of the jihadist community in Germany.
And the fact that in Germany, I mean, and the economic situation is better than in
France
and Great Britain.
That's true. I mean, youth unemployment is very low in Germany.
Yeah, exactly. So there are job. And at the same time, the fact that the Turkish people, come from a country where, laïcité, French type of laïcité, was in a way exactly. implemented by, Atatürk. Yeah. So that they come from a country where there is a kind of secularization which is more accepted,
at least in some ways, by
them. And then the fact that, as you said, Germany does not have such an active foreign policy in terms of, involving, for instance, French army in Mali or sending them, to some other to some other African countries and so on. So that in that respect, too, they do not try to punish.
Yeah, Germany likes to hide behind.
Exactly.
Historically. Yes.
Historically. So, I would like to introduce it, but I hope in the future with you and some other scholars, this sort of perspective, comparative perspective based on empirical work,
not only on
our intuitions. But
exactly.
I think it's already very precious what you said. And thank you very much indeed.
Thank you, Farhad. I'm very happy to be here.
Thank you.
Thanks. Excellent.